Good morning and welcome to the Bible study on the Messenger of Good News Worldwide, KFUO. KFUO is a broadcast ministry of the Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod. I'm Roland Lettner. Thanks for joining us as we continue our sojourn through the Psalms and the Proverbs. Today is Proverbs Day. Congratulations. This is interesting. We get to meet two women today. Mark, I don't know if you're an expert on women or not, but
No, definitely not.
You know nothing about them whatsoever.
I know nothing.
Nothing.
No. Believe me, I know less today than I did yesterday.
You sound like Sergeant Schultz.
Nothing.
I know nothing.
Yes.
Nothing. Pastor Mark Hawkinson.
Or like, Richard Nixon, I knew nothing about Watergate. You know, I mean, this kind of thing. Oh, boy. Well, we won't get into politics here.
Well, good morning and welcome back, Pastor Mark Hawkinson, host of Moments of Assurance, heard daily right after Ask the Pastor here on the Messenger of Good News, Worldwide KFUO. How are you, my friend?
I'm doing just fine. Yourself?
I'm hanging on with both hands.
Yeah.
I am.
I'm hanging on by my toenails, but
well,
either way.
Wow, that's I think I'm doing better than you then.
Or as one financial guru has said, better than I deserve. Have you heard?
Yeah.
Financial Peace University, that guy from Nashville, Tennessee.
Oh, yeah. I can't think of his name.
I can't think of his name either, but he's always saying I'm better than I deserve. So.
Well, I don't know. I'm a baptized, redeemed child of Christ. I don't get no better than that, so I'll go with that one.
That condition is as good as it gets, and that was a movie at one time, wasn't it?
As good as it gets. Well, you're primed today.
No, I wouldn't say that.
You know, usually I get
This is as good as it gets right now. So.
I was going to say, usually I get this treatment from Lukumsky yesterday, but
oh,
now
boy.
I see.
Yeah, he's sharp. Oh, he's a sharp tack. I like him.
That was a very good program yesterday. But today, Proverbs 9 is the assignment for any assurance, anything comforting that comes out of Proverbs 9?
Well, the true wisdom, obviously, forthcoming through Jesus Christ, who is the embodiment of all wisdom. And, somebody's at a point of two divergent directions in their life. This happens in your life and in my life, the life of sanctification, where you're either going to go this way and follow the way of wisdom, or you're going to go this way and follow the way of folly. So are you going to be stupid or smart today? That's what it boils down to. I mean, if push comes to shove, it absolutely boils down to the simplicity of that decision that the Lord empowers you to make through His blessed Word. If you just draw from the Word, you can make the right decision. You don't draw from the Word, guess what? You're a fool. You're a fool.
Well, on that happy note, let's begin with prayer.
All right. Gracious God in heaven, thank you very much for the way of wisdom, which always is by following your Son, Jesus Christ, who said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes unto the Father except by me. Gracious God, bless each listener today that they might come unto the Father by you and by your Son, Jesus Christ, who is the embodiment of all wisdom. Let us not be fools and turn our own direction. Let us always turn your way by faith in Jesus Christ, and you give us that faith to boot through your word and sacraments. Thank you for giving it to us today. In Jesus' holy name, amen.
Amen. Thank you, Pastor Hawkinson.
You're welcome.
505-7850, 1-800-730-2727, KFUO at KFUO.org. And as you can see, Pastor Hawkinson, I have cleared everything out of the email server, important, unimportant, consequential, inconsequential, to make room for
the thousands of notes
we are going to get.
Yeah, that's right.
Because that's just, no faint praise here, but that's just how popular your program is.
No, it isn't. But at any rate, I thank you for your, and yours as well. I mean, this is a wonderful program here because here people get into the Word of God and are able to study it from day to day in a sequentially, which is fun, and then you learn, and you get to hear all the different, and you do a marvelous job asking. What you do is you ask the questions that people would ask, that lay people would ask, or even that a pastor would ask sometimes, because, you know, and then the people call in, because that's the questions that they are wanting to ask.
Well, not only do I have questions, I have three important questions that we have to answer coming out of Proverbs 9 today.
Okay.
First one is, who is wisdom? The second one is, what is wisdom?
Mm-hmm.
And the third one is, so who cares?
Well, let's start with number three.
Because if you look around today, Mark, wisdom, the stock ain't very high right now.
Well, by saying who cares, that right there says that's a person of folly. that's a person that has gone the wrong direction. Because somebody who says, who cares? Now, I'm not talking about you here at all. I'm just saying in general. The person out there that's unknowing, he's just going about his business, his daily business. And here's this woman calling, you know, come this way, come this way. This is the way to go. But that's the foolish way. But then there are these messengers, these girls that are sent out in advance that wisdom sends out. And so wisdom's a step above folly. She sends out the female messengers, come this way, come this way. And so, to say who cares, there are people out there that are saying that in life. So that's what I mean. You're very good at asking just the right questions. There are people out there that are saying that. Who cares about any of this? Well, the answer should be that you do care. If you don't, get into the Lord's precious word and you will care. Because the Holy Spirit works and engenders, you know, engenders faith, and you realize who you are as a sinner and who God is as your Savior.
Is wisdom simply knowing the difference between right and wrong?
No, there's more to it than that. It's, that's the result of it. The result of having wisdom is to be able to make the right decision. I think I mentioned this on Moments of Assurance the other day, YMCA, there was a great big bulletin. It was dark print, and it was on a banner. I should say it was a banner. Do the right thing. You've seen that. It used to be a bumper sticker. Do the right thing. Well, that's not specifically a Christian phrase. And yet, if you have true wisdom, you will. You're going to make the right godly decisions if you have that true wisdom, which, as I mentioned at the onset of the program, is embodied in Jesus Christ. And it's demonstrated here as a woman in the female, and in fact, in the Hebrew, I looked that up, it's in the plural, which kind of emphasizes, it just gives it more importance and sets it up on a pillar a little more. In fact, there's seven pillars here.
There's seven
pillars, and that's a holy number. That's a number of completeness. So, as you mentioned, we'll talk about that in a minute. But wisdom is just characterized here as a woman. And
well, I mean, is that an accident of grammar, or is there a reason that it's a woman?
No, it's not. I would say it's not an accident of grammar, because in Isaiah, in another place, it says, "Can a woman forget her children?" Neither God is referring to himself here, and God says, "Neither will I forget you. I have engraved you on the palms of my hand." So there was an allusion to a woman as well. This isn't the only place in Scripture where a woman, it's just the analogy, the comparison, as a mother pities her children, this type of thing. It's all in there. So that's the allusion, that's the illustration, I should say, that's been given here in Proverbs chapter 9, the embodiment of wisdom being a woman in this case.
So after we complete these 18 verses, I will know everything there is to know about wisdom.
No,
you
won't.
Be the smartest man in the world.
You won't. No, because that's a lifelong process.
That sounds like it's going to take a lot of effort.
It'll take some effort. It's like my father told me when I didn't have my shoes on to go to church when I was 12 years old. He says, "Where are your shoes?" And I said, "Well, I'm not going to church today." you know what he
said?
The wisdom of children. Well, all he had to do, my father was very wise. He didn't say a word. He just looked at me and didn't say a word. I put my shoes on and got in the car. There was no question. So you see, even pastors, when they're young, even they're sinners too, We're all sinners, and we all need a Savior who will give us the wisdom to say, "Hey, I want to go to church. I want more of what's in store." Just what you mentioned, it's a lifelong process of growth.
And that's unfortunate, because I'm really busy.
I know. You want it microwave too.
That's right.
You want a microwave
30
wisdom.
30 seconds.
Yeah,
18 verses, smartest
yeah,
man
right.
in the world. It doesn't happen.
And by the way, you know that tomato soup that I'm always promoting on Moments of Assurance, it's a minute 40. Keep it in the microwave.
Minute 40?
See, a minute 30, it's not quite enough. Yeah. And the taste lacks there. So just remember, a minute 40. I found that out last night.
Cooking with Pastor Mark.
Ran, yeah.
The next program on KFUO. How many types
boy.
Of... Now, this is important, too, I think, because there isn't just one type of wisdom, is there? I mean, you've got folk wisdom. You have...
Folklore.
Worldly wisdom.
Yeah,
you
that's
have
right. Godly wisdom.
Godly wisdom.
Mm-hmm.
And apparently, there's a hierarchy. Or is wisdom, wisdom, wisdom?
No, wisdom, no, it's set apart. If you have God's wisdom, it's over here. It's in a different category than the world. The world's wisdom is a temporary, it's temporal, meaning it's of this earth only, which means that it has a termination point, which means that if you follow its way, what it's going to do, and of course, we're going to get into that in some of the upcoming verses, it's going to tickle your innards for the moment. But then later, it's going to come back to hit your back. It's going to come back to hit you on the back.
Yeah, but that's why we've got Centers for Disease Control, to find solutions to all of our problems. I think, Pastor, when hurricanes come, we don't turn to God, we turn to FEMA. When diseases strike our population, we don't turn to God, we turn to the Centers for Disease Control.
Well,
you know, these were all the wise people of our
kingdom
culture.
On the
they
left,
solve
though.
All of our
but,
problems.
But that's a different kingdom. That's other people. That's the people who, according to Proverbs chapter 9, when they came to the fork in the road.
They took it? Thank you, Yogi Bear.
I couldn't resist that. They took the wrong fork.
You and Lukumsky have gotten together, haven't you? You've been plotting against me.
I don't know, but I don't know if we've gotten together. I have been at his church, though. Done a KFUO Sunday mission church.
Yeah.
At his.
Yeah, we should mention that, too, when we come back from the break.
Let's do that.
Let's start with some of the verses here.
Okay.
Verse 1 of Proverbs number 9. Wisdom has built her house. She has hewn her seven pillars. She has slaughtered her beast. She has mixed her wine. She has also set her table. So wisdom owns a construction company, I see.
Yeah. Well, notice the word set. Everything is ready so that when the invitation goes out, it's not like you have to go and wait. There's no waiting. You can come and get it. I mean, that's basically what the invitation says. Come and get it.
Well, not
everything.
Not, okay.
Everything is ready. And notice, now there's going to be a difference when we get to folly. You're going to see what folly has to offer is water and bread. Notice here, you got meat.
And wine.
Slaughter the beast. Oh, enhanced wine, because there are spices that were mixed in with the wine, which enhances it and makes it stronger. Which, a good glass of wine, as St. Paul said to Timothy, take a little wine for your stomach's sake.
It makes the heart merry as well. Yes, it does.
It does. You better believe it.
All right. Now, is this, can I make, if I, am I stretching too far, if I make a connection with Matthew 7 and the house built on the rock?
Yeah, I think there's a definite corollary there. It's your existence, your house, your life.
The foundation is solid.
Yeah, where are you gonna lay your foundation here? And this invitation is for a solid one. I mean, there are even seven pillars that are holding it up. I mean, you can't lose here, unless you're Samson and you're gonna get the.
Well, you're right. Pillars do hold something up, and seven, as you said, has a special meaning from Scripture.
Seven sunrises.
So when you put these two together, that it holds something up. Perfectly.
Right. They do.
What do you get when you put these two together?
You get invitation to come on in to the true wisdom that Jesus Christ, who is the embodiment of all wisdom, has to offer, namely eternal life. You get to go to his house. You get to go to God's house, which is held up by more than seven pillars. It's held up by the Almighty himself. So, Jesus said, he who has the Son has the life. So if you have the life, you've got the eternal house. The eternal house where you're going.
And seemingly this house has a banquet hall as well.
Yes, and there's a seat reserved with your name on it.
Really?
Well. Yes,
well,
that's
what's
right.
The address? I'd like to go this afternoon.
Oh, no, not yet.
Oh,
Lord has things for you to do yet, I do believe. So,
because there's a lot of metaphor that comes out of a proverb
certainly.
Like this.
Yes.
How is living a wise life like a banquet being described here?
Well,
or at least a life driven by wisdom, godly wisdom.
It's an accelerating, it's an ascending sort of thing. Once you taste of the banquet that wisdom has available for you, what's the result of tasting it? You know, when you have an hors d'oeuvre of the main meal, you want the meal. And so the more that you have that wisdom has to offer here at this banquet, the more you want. And it's an accelerating, it's an ascending sort of thing. The more you study, the sophomore philosophy, remember that from school? The more you study, the more you know, the more you know, the more you forget, the more you forget, the less you know, so why study?
I didn't know it, but I lived it.
But the thing is, when it comes to God's Word, the more you know and the more you study, the more you want to know. That's the huge difference there between that funny little thing on the sophomore philosophy and what the true wisdom that comes from Jesus Christ, which is something that you just can't get enough of. That's the difference. You can't get enough of it.
Now, I'm serious when I ask this question. And,
sure.
And one worthy of consideration, I think, and that is we are born fallen and sinful in a fallen and sinful world.
Well, speak for yourself.
How in the world are we supposed to know one wisdom from the other, let alone right from wrong?
By nature, you don't. By nature, you only recognize folly. That is what comes by nature.
Ignorance is bliss.
Yeah, that's a very good question because, as you mentioned, we are born into this world blind, dead, and an enemy of God. That's our natural, totally corrupt condition. Okay, that's where baptism comes in. A good thing for, thank God for baptism. But naturally, by what comes naturally, you don't want those things. You can't even reckon. The natural man receives not the things of the Spirit, for they are spiritually discerned, the Scripture says, St. Paul says. So the Word of God itself is what enlightens. St. Paul wrote to the Ephesians that you have been enlightened. So you are enlightened as you get into the Word. And when you get a taste of that wisdom, then you are able to already begin to make better decisions and to go the right road. And as you go that road, then your desire to get more of that wisdom is right there.
505-7850, 1-800-730-2727, KFUO at KFUO.org. If you'd like to get in with a question or a comment, and that very familiar voice, you know, that's Pastor Mark Hawkinson from Moments of Assurance. And while we're just taking a little pause here, you'd mentioned earlier, I don't want to wait for the break. KFUO Sundays.
Yes.
How does one get one of these?
Just give Joni a call at 800-844-0524. Ask for Joni. Or you could email me at hawkm@fidnet.com. hawkm@fidnet.com. Either way, get a hold of one of us, either Joni or myself, and we'll get you on the schedule. And what you're going to get is a message from the Word of God. If you would like it according to the text of the day, I can do that. Otherwise, I mean, I'm going to bring KFUO in tremendously. I mean, that's going to be the main deal is KFUO.
Yeah, I heard about that when you came to Ascension.
Well, yeah, and I talked about you, too.
That's what I mean.
It was all good because there's nothing, I can't say anything but good.
And they said, who is this Roland? We've never met him before.
Well, you kind of take care of Ascension there by being a member there, and you sort of do the KFUO Sundays every Sunday
more
or less.
Yeah.
So, but then, in addition, and during the Bible class, then I'll have a series of scriptures that are around the subject of witnessing and evangelism and using KFUO or inviting others to tune in to KFUO and inviting others to come to your church as well. So it's a dual thing.
So as a lesson, a wise congregation would call you today and set up a KFUO Sunday.
Right, if they're going the way of
but a
wisdom.
A foolish congregation would ignore the
invitation.
That's right.
Yeah, don't be a fool. No.
You see why I brought
that
up.
Who's the real fool here anyway? You know,
right.
Said the one. Thank you very much. I appreciate that. Yeah, just 800-844-0524.
So if Scripture provides, if Proverbs provides, the foundation, the perfect foundation to make good decisions and live a God-pleasing life, well, I guess I don't need to pay attention to anything else, do I?
Well, in what manner?
Well, in no other manner.
Well, sure.
I mean,
you have to pay attention to life.
I need no other resources. I need it.
Oh, no. The Lord expects
I'll just read Proverbs 9 and
oh,
I'm set.
No. You read the St. Louis Post-Dispatch every day, don't you? You keep in touch
with... Well, I thought we were talking about wisdom.
Well... Whoops! I wonder if the editor's listening.
I hope they are.
Hope
Please
they
call
are.
Me. I'd like to talk to you.
Okay. I appreciate your candor there. But at any rate, now I'm on the hot seat. So I'm joining you on the hot seat on that one. So, okay. But, I mean, no, you have to be aware. You have to take in what's going on in the world as well if you're going to be a salt and a light. How can you be a salt and a light? A salt and a light unless you are aware of what's going on around you.
So we're talking serpents and doves.
Wise as a serpent, innocent as a dove.
So if you don't know what's going on in the world,
then how can you make godly decisions living in the world but not of the world? And that's the difference.
So if I have plans to buy that cave in the Syrian desert and become a hermit and just ignore the world and study my Proverbs, that's not wise.
That's a neat thing for your personal devotions, and that's nice. But you know, you and I are called to serve. How can we serve our neighbor if we're secluded by ourselves? You know. I mean, I thought, my wife and I, we were down in Arkansas a couple weeks ago, northern Arkansas, and I thought, man, wouldn't it be nice just to, you know, sell everything out, just come down here and just live here in a cabin.
You know, Powerball, $500 million. There are a lot of people buying tickets today.
Yeah. Oh, but what was that?
Half a billion dollars.
Oh, my goodness.
$500 million.
Wow. Isn't that something? Yeah. Wow.
Is that wise or folly? Is that wise or folly to buy a Powerball ticket?
A Powerball ticket?
Yeah.
I never have. I don't think it's wise. That's my opinion, and feel free to disagree with me. Maybe you have. But I never have bought a lottery ticket. My mother-in-law, every Thanksgiving, would buy everyone in the family a ticket, one of those lottery tickets, or a Powerball, whatever. But I only won $7 once. That was it.
You're ahead of most people.
$7. And so, no, I don't play that. I don't play that game, and I don't think it's wise for me to. What if I did win? Then I'd want to keep doing it, you know. And then you can lose everything. So, I think you have to stay away from. I think that's a dangerous adventure. That's what I think.
Picking up at verse 3, she has sent out her young women to call from the highest places in the town. Whoever is simple, let him turn in here. To him who lacks sense, she says, come. Eat of my bread and drink of the wine I have mixed. Leave your simple ways and live and walk in the way of insight.
Yeah, it's an invitation that goes out to people that are searching and looking. There are a lot of people out there in this world. They really don't know where they're going. They really don't have a handle on their goals, what they want to do in life. And they're just walking down life's road, minding their own business or taking care of their business. But they don't know why. They don't know what it's all about. They just don't really have a sense of purpose or meaning for their lives. And so the invitation is there. Come, eat of my bread. Drink of the wine that I have mixed. It's a leave your simple ways. And that happens by following His way, God's way for you in Jesus Christ.
So here is wisdom represented by a woman who has prepared a feast, a banquet, that no one really, if they thought about it, would be willing to pass up. But yet, I mean, you would think everybody would be beating the doors down to get into this place.
You would think.
Yet, you know, she has to send people out to beg them to come in, and they pretty much ignore her.
That's because what's down here, that's because of what's coming up, the way of folly. When we get into that, you see that the way of folly, without Jesus Christ, without God's word in one's life, that way of folly is so strong, it's just like a magnet that pulls you right in, and you follow the wrong direction. And that's it. And that's the reason the pulling, the magnetic pull of the world is there. The worldly wisdom that says, you know, you see it billboarded out on Highway 40 out here and Interstate 70. There's, you know, come on over to this sort of way of life. Well, it's not going to satisfy you, number one. And number two, if it does satisfy you, it's only going to be for the moment.
Now, I have to make the connection here. And feel free to knock me back if I'm wrong. But the banquet is prepared, the wine is mixed, the meat is cooked. You know what happens if you wait too long when the meal's on the table? It gets cold.
That's right.
It's cold. So,
behold, now
the implication is
now
time
is acceptable time.
Now is the time.
Yeah. The Scripture says,
don't wait until it's too late.
Scripture says it is time to seek the Lord. It is time. Now's the time. Now's the acceptable time. Don't wait because it might be too late.
505-7850, 1-800-730-2727, KFUO at KFUO.org. We'll be right back after a few short announcements with Pastor Mark Hawkinson from Moments of Assurance as we go through Proverbs, Chapter 9, Book 9. So far we're talking about Lady Wisdom, but Lady Folly. See, you're building this up. You're almost making Lady Wisdom sound a little appealing here.
Just a little what? Oh, wow.
Just you
know, I didn't mean to do that.
No. We have a few short announcements. We'll be right back on the Bible study on the Messenger of Good News, Worldwide KFUO. Stick around.
Whether you soar with glee during the holiday season or barely scrape by because of your pain and brokenness, this season brings you a precious gift. It's the gift of hope in God. God who cares about you and is committed to making things right.
Pastor Gregory Seltz, this week on The Lutheran Hour.
Sundays at 12:30 and 5 p.m. on Worldwide KFUO.
Hi, this is Rod Zwanisser, host of Book Talk. Are you looking for a book on Christian history, a Bible book, or doctrine? Are you searching for that perfect book as a gift? Listen to Book Talk weekday afternoons at 2:30 on KFUO. Also, visit the Book Talk archives page on our website at kfuo.org. You'll find over 50 interviews and links to books from authors like McGrath, Harrison, Lessing, Veith, and more.
Listen to Book Talk weekday afternoons at 2:30 on the Messenger of Good News, KFUO.
You may know Thrivent Financial for Lutherans as a Fortune 500 organization, but did you know we're committed to excellence in financial services and caring for others? That's why we're proud to support the St. Louis area and those who live here. Find out more about the unique ways we give back to the communities we serve. In Chesterfield, call me, Matthew Kloss, at 314-783-4213. That's 314-783-4213.
I'm Pastor Doug Nicely. Do you have a minute? When I was a junior high school confirmation student, I was introduced to the strange-sounding chief part of the Christian doctrine named the Office of the Keys and Confession. It took me another decade to understand exactly what this was all about. I was working as a seminary student in Dubuque, Iowa. My pastor, Paul Nicholson, would invite the people from the congregation to come to his study on Saturday afternoons. Supposedly, they were declaring their intention to receive Holy Communion the next day. But what happened fairly often was an exchange like the following. "Pastor, now that I'm here with you and there doesn't seem to be anyone else waiting outside in the secretary's office, could we talk about a couple of things?" "Sure, let's talk." And then came some heartwarming conversation. In our confirmation class, we called this confession. No booth or screen, just two folks talking about what was on their hearts, with confidentiality the seal around them. In the New Testament, St. James teaches us, "Therefore confess your sins to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous person has great power as it is working." For many years, I took a page out of our hymnal, using it to remind the people of the congregation that they too had the power to forgive the sins of a repentant sinner just as much as the pastor does. I spoke the words of confession to the people, and they replied to me. "The Almighty and Merciful Lord grant you pardon, forgiveness, and remission of your sins." Wow. Let's pray about this. Lord, no matter how or when we confess our sins, let us learn today that when we do so, we are only being Christians. For we pray in the name of Jesus, who has won for us the gifts of forgiveness, life, and eternal life, salvation as a gift. Amen.
Welcome back. It's the Bible study on the Messenger of Good News Worldwide, KFUO. Pastor Mark Hawkinson from Moments of Assurance, heard every day, Monday through Friday, with the exception of occasional special days like Thanksgiving or Christmas Day when we have special programming.
Yeah, always some special programming.
Otherwise,
yeah.
You are Old Faithful. You are here almost every day. I think only Saturday, right?
No, I come in on Saturday.
Do you?
Yeah.
Wow.
Saturday
you are
morning.
Here every day.
Not Sunday. I'm not here on
don't
Sunday.
Don't spread that around. They'll expect it from all of us.
Oh, dear. My notes just went down.
Well, that's right. Take your time. 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727, KFUO at KFUO.org. Proverbs 9, the assignment for Pastor Hawkinson today. We worked our way all the way down to what? How far did we get? We got to about
verse 6
is where we finished up.
Verse 6, was it? Okay.
Yeah. So where we left off going into the break, what essentially is being said here is the banquet is prepared. Come and feast before it's too late.
Yeah, because you never know when. See, the thing, two things we know. We know for sure that Jesus is coming back. And the second thing we know for sure is that we don't know when. We don't know when. But that he's coming back as, you know, as lightning flashes from the east to the west, so shall the coming of the Son of Man be. So his coming is that sure. But the date and the time of his arrival, and it's like you were pointing out on a Bible study, some months ago, I heard you say, you know, if somebody predicts, we're talking about the predictions of various people for the, now what is it, December 21st?
Yeah, supposed the Mayan December calendar 21st, doomsday thing, yeah.
And the doomsday, that's my sister's birthday, so I won't have to make a birthday cake if that's the end. But, oh boy, but to put the frosting on the whole thing is the message that Jesus is returning, and that's for sure. And so if you put it off, what are you going to do? If you put it off, he might come, and then you don't have faith, then you're there, and then you're lost.
Here's an email that came in. Are you ready for this?
I don't see it. Only you can see it.
Would you
only
like
you
to
can
see,
see
it?
That.
Would you like
That's
to
not
see
fair.
It?
Oh, there it is. Okay.
Just, you know, what is it? What does the scripture say? Ask and you shall
receive.
There you go.
I
complain
got
and you'll get it in spades. The email says, you are talking about how only Jesus satisfies the needs of people, but I would like to know how that applies to you both in your lives. You're asking others to let him satisfy them, so tell so tell how he does that for you.
Well, I think that's, you want to go first?
See what I get for asking for emails? No, you're the scriptural authority in the room. I'll follow your lead.
Well, without Jesus Christ, I would not know that I would have a life that continues after the grave. I'm getting closer to the grave than you are. I'll tell you that right now, Roland, at my age. And I want to know that there is something more. And Jesus has said that. And so I hold on to that hope as something for sure. I also know that the words of Jesus are true when he said, lo, the word lo in the Greek, it means take notice. I am with you always, even to the close of the age. So that encourages me. What does Jesus do for me? Well, he assures me that I have everlasting life, and he promises that he will be with me through trials, tribulations, illnesses. I've been through cancer twice now, right now it's under control again. So when I found out again, I say, God, help me, please help me to get over this. And everything is working okay so far. Praise be to God. So two helps there. One is the assurance of everlasting life. That keeps me going. That's like a carrot that's held out there that says, hey, keep going because there's more to come. Like Johnny Carson, when he was on the air years ago on the Tonight Show, he says, we'll be right back. Well, that's what Jesus, when he sends into heaven, I'll be right back. So those two things keep me going.
Well, also, tying this into Proverbs 9.
Mm-hmm.
When we talk about needs, that's part of wisdom, discerning what you need from what you want. What
Absolutely.
I need is salvation. What I need is an identity in Christ through my baptism. This brings clarity to everything else, as you're describing, Mark.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it satisfies what I need. Now, there are a lot of things that I want, and I ain't satisfied, trust me.
Well, but the thing
but that helps me discern
exactly.
why...
Yes, yes. You hit the nail on the head. That's what wisdom does. It helps you when you're at these divergent roads that you come. And every day there are these roads, and you come to the crossroads. You come to the Y in the road or the fork in the road, as we mentioned.
Yes.
And what direction, indeed, do you turn? Well, wisdom is not folly.
Yeah.
Folly is not wisdom. So you follow the way of wisdom. You are going to be able, with God's help, as you pray about it, and ask God to help you to make the right decision. And by the way, don't make hasty decisions. I've made a few hasty decisions in my life. Like my wife has always told me that I'm an impulsive buyer. I love I run my cars to almost 300,000 miles. Okay, when it gets that many miles, I'm sorry, they're done. I can't trust a car when it's pushing 300,000 miles. So I go out and I buy not a new car, but I always buy one of these dealers, they have 5,000 or 6,000 on and so forth. I like to go in a showroom. Hey, I like this. Let's do it. Let's do the paperwork. And my wife, she said, no, you got to shop around, you know, to take your time. But I'm an impulsive buyer. So that's one fault that I have.
And the other thing I would say is what I need is peace.
There's only one peace that will not stop at the grave, and that is the peace that goes on forever in eternity, and
because
that's why...
Because, as we are all prone to do, when I look at myself and go, boy, I stink as a husband, Yeah, kind of a rotten father. Yeah, could have done better as a citizen.
But I'm sure none of that is true. See, the only thing is, there are times that you may stink as a father and a husband. There are times that I stink as a father and as a husband. But fortunately, with the power of the Holy Spirit,
there you go,
working through the Word and sacraments, the times that you are demonstrating God's wisdom far outweighs the times that you fail.
And that's what I need.
Okay, I'll
that's
buy that.
Now, my sinful nature says, and the Powerball numbers wouldn't hurt. But.
Yeah, that's right. But it could be addictive. So you could get addictive
exactly.
to Powerballs, and that's why I stay away from them. Every time I go in and buy gas, they're always saying, would you like a lottery card? And I'll say no, and one person says, why not? Everybody else does.
Yeah, well,
and I
an
had
opportunity
a short,
to share
I
some
had,
wisdom.
Yes, I had a short conversation with that person.
Jan, good morning. Thanks for the call.
Good morning, Roland. Good morning, Pastor.
Good morning, Jan.
Yeah, I think about that First Peter passage, I think it is, where he says, you know, people are puzzled when you don't go along with them if you've been going along with them. And that's, I think, one of the marks of a Christian, where you finally know what is right, and that's what you're
absolutely.
I love the Bible because it's true. You know, it draws contrast that men and women do in their minds. And I like this proverb because wisdom is contrasted with folly.
Right. Yeah, it's a good contrast, isn't it? Yeah.
Yeah. I'm struck by the preparation that wisdom makes. And it seems like folly is basically a usurper.
That's a very good point. That's a very good point, Jan. That's right. Everything is ready, but it took time to get everything ready. Yeah, there was a lot that went into that preparation.
Roland, you said something earlier. Wisdom is wisdom knowing right from wrong. I think wisdom is knowledge correctly applied. And
yeah, the application is the difficult bit.
Yeah, and do you want to be slaughtering your beasts when you should be mixing your wine?
That's a good one, Jan. I like that one.
I'm trying to stay on task, but I'm calling because this proverb made me think of Psalm 19, and I'm looking at verse 7. It says, the law of the Lord is perfect, reviving the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. And I'd like your help in identifying what that testimony is and why is it sure.
Okay. Well, we'll take a look at that.
All right, thanks,
we'll
Jan.
Talk about it. Thank you.
Thank you.
Appreciate it. Well, the law of the Lord, the Word of God. Now just let's just call it that. The Word of God is perfect, meaning it's complete. That word perfect, there's no lack. When you go to God's Word, you have everything you need with law and gospel. And indeed, it does revive my soul as I go to it, that's for sure. What about the testimony of the Lord? Well, what would you think that would be, the testimony of the Lord? Well, His testimony in His Word would be the contents of the message, which once again would go back to the fact that we are sinners and that there is a way out of sin, and that is provided by the embodiment of true wisdom through, of course, Jesus Christ. That the testimony of the Lord also, if you look at the Psalms, is made by looking out at the world. The heavens declare the glory of God. The earth shows forth His handiwork. So there's a testimony that is a natural one that comes out simply by looking out there at the world. There's a testimony of God's Word. There's a testimony in your conscience. And God, sharpens your conscience through the Word of God. So anyway, that testimony is sure. And this fits right in with Proverbs 9, making wise the simple. The simple person is out there. I don't know where I'm going. I don't have a goal in my life. I don't this, I don't that. And, answering wisdom's invitation causes that person to be wise.
Herman, good morning. You're up next.
Yes, thank you for taking my call. Pastor Hawkinson, you mentioned earlier in the program about the Christology that is revealed in the book of Proverbs. And I'm thinking along the point, if you get a good English translation, it should capitalize the pronouns like he, him, or Lord, which make that possible to follow the divine identity through the text. And also that we have, essentially, it would be coming from Jesus Christ, the true Logos. And also, could you comment on your 300,000-mile cars? Are they on original engines without overhaul or replacement, and how you distribute to getting them to go that far?
How do I get them to go that far? Well, I have to be honest. I don't run them quite up to 300. Usually about 270. Around 270 is when is the cutoff, because everything just seems to start, nickeling and diming you to death. What do I do? I don't know. I change the oil every, I go as far as 6,000 or 7,000 miles. I shouldn't, but I'm on the road so much, the highway, that I figure I don't have to do it at 3. I just run it up into, it's a Chrysler, Chrysler 300. And, in fact, I have two Chrysler 300s. I have one with 270,000 miles on it, and the other one only has 49,000 on it right now. It's a 2010, so... at any rate, I'm just kind of, that's not a commercial for cars. There are other cars and other brands, Fords and others, that can do just as well, I'm sure. But just taking good care of it. I take it in the shop on a regular basis, and I have them do this multi-point check. They'll do a multi-point. They check everything, the brakes and everything on it. And if something is showing wear, I try to get it fixed right away rather than to let five or six things build up. Then I can't afford to get it fixed. I don't have the money. So if something is wrong, then I get it fixed right away. And I don't know. I run it on the highway, and I keep everything everything in good shape. And I've just been very fortunate.
That car with the 270,000 miles, how old is it?
That's a 2005. 2005 okay. Chrysler. Mm-hmm.
Okay. In other words, you're saying you're more likely to get that mileage out of a relatively newer car, used more heavily than, say, a car with another 5 years on it?
Possibly. I can't say that for sure. We had a 97 vehicle, a 1997, and that one just did not do too well at all, so I got rid of it. I mean, it just, I won't even say what kind it was, but I was very disappointed in that one. I had taken good care of it, but It was costing me more money than a car payment to maintain it on a per month basis. So I got rid of it, and I'm very glad I did.
Yeah.
So,
okay. Okay. Well, I appreciate that you touched on the Christology of the Proverbs.
Sure.
There, I know that, for example, the Book of Esther is not quoted in the New Testament, but I know there are those who point out the Christology in Esther is represented by Esther's uncle Mordecai, who is her protector.
Oh, yes. Absolutely. Mordecai was the savior in that situation, wasn't he? Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, thank you, Herman. Appreciate
thank
it.
You.
Good
all
to hear
right.
from you this morning.
Yeah, bye-bye.
Well, you are such a high Middle Ages man. I mean, we've got cooking tips, we've got auto mechanics, and we've got theology. This is grand. This is the joy of doing Bible study, because it touches on so many
it
other
does.
Aspects of our
yeah.
lives. Life is theology.
Right. It's all.
Learn it, love it, live it. Life is theology.
Well, my major at the SEM was practical theology, so that's why the cooking
really?
And all that's all these other things come out, and it's just the
picking
practical
up at verse
life.
7 of Proverbs 9. Whoever corrects a scoffer gets himself abuse, and he who reproves a wicked man incurs injury. Do not reprove a scoffer, or he will hate you. Reprove a wise man, and he will love you. Give instructions to a wise man, and he will be wiser. Teach a righteous man, and he will increase in learning. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the Holy One is insight. For by me your days will be multiplied, and years will be added to your life. If you are wise, you are wise for yourself. If you scoff, you alone will bear it. And that is the first part of Proverbs 9.
That's right.
It reminds me, have you ever seen these things that turn up in the news every once in a while called the Darwin Awards?
No, I must have missed that.
Well, it's about reducing the bad portion of the gene pool.
Oh my goodness!
People who find creative, interesting ways to do great harm to themselves.
Oh my!
I'll have to watch that. And that's folly.
Yeah.
That's the guy.
The guy who can't quite figure out.
This is the true one. The guy who couldn't quite figure out where the noise was coming from in his truck, so he decided to hang from the suspension underneath while his friend drove down the road.
Okay.
He did not turn out.
Oh dear, didn't turn
better
out too
for
good.
The no. for the experience.
Probably not.
That's what those things are about. Is people that do silly things like that, and that is folly. And that's what it says there in verse 12. If you scoff, you scoff.
Now you bear it
to
alone.
Your own consequence.
You're going to. There will be consequences to folly, and
see, unfortunately, we have these really wonderful ideas.
See, unfortunately, there will be eternal.
If only someone would have told me before I tried
to folly.
If only someone would have told me.
Oh boy! Well,
all right.
That's
here's the point. I think that really strikes me about these verses so far is that without God, in spite of the appearances, because there are a lot of people in this world who consider themselves to be really, really smart.
Sure, by way of the world.
Without God, you're not wise.
No, you don't have His wisdom, and if you don't, then you're not going to be able to make decisions that will come out for your benefit. They will be ultimately to your detriment.
So when you say things like, life is precious, even if that life is conceived in a rape, the world says, boy, you ain't very bright.
That's what the world says, but God says, that's a human being.
Hmm. And you saw from this past election year how some people...
Oh, gosh, yes, unfortunately.
You know? Not exactly wise in the application, but you understand the point that I'm
very talking. Sad when you think about that. Extremely sad. Extremely so. That is...
So can I, in good conscience, dismiss the mocker? You know, the ignorant so-and-so who just doesn't want to learn?
No.
Can I just shake the dust off my feet and not deal with them?
Pray for that person.
Oh.
Pray for that person.
I'm busy, Mark. I thought I explained that in the first
part. How long does it
program.
Take to say a prayer for a person? 15 seconds? I mean, you can say a prayer for the scoffer. Sure, they'll rebuke you. I mean, they're not interested in your... If you rebuke a scoffer, it's going to come back on you because they're not interested in listening to you. They're not where you're at. See, that's the problem.
But isn't it better to spend your time with the people who are willing to listen?
Probably so. At least the bulk of your time. Yeah, they're open. See, the one that's open to the way of wisdom wants more of it and can't get enough of it. So that's the ultimate difference there. And in the life of, the life that you're living now, Roland, is life of sanctification. I mean, just your life of praise to the Lord. You have to make decisions every single day. Which way are you going to go? You're at a divergent point every minute, almost every hour in your thoughts and what you say and in what you do. Good way to keep your life from being askew is to follow that, not folly, but that woman of wisdom.
And it always seems that Proverbs come with a warning, an either-or sort of warning. Either seek wisdom or suffer the consequence.
That's right. And that comes out in the way of folly in verse 13 and following. Yeah.
All right, let's pick up with Lady Folly. You did a big build-up for her. You mentioned her several times in the first part of the program.
I didn't want to give the impression that I know her, though. I don't know the woman of folly personally. I just know that she's seductive, et cetera, et cetera. Why don't you go ahead and read that?
Right. Verse 13.
So I don't get in trouble here.
The woman folly is loud. She is seductive and knows nothing. She sits at the door of her house. She takes a seat on the highest places of the town, calling to those who pass by who are going straight on their way. Whoever is simple, let him turn in here. And to him who lacks sense, she says, stolen water is sweet, and bread eaten in secret is pleasant. But he does not know that the dead are there, that her guests are in the depths of Sheol.
Ooh, boy, powerful words.
We were doing
okay
till verse 18.
Watch out. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, well, you just don't know that. You see, that you're not thinking about that. You're not tuned into the result of stolen water. You know, drinking from stolen water, which, you know, to do something that's forbidden is always more fun than it is to stay on the straight and narrow. And that's what's involved here.
Well, talk to anyone who drinks and drives and kills someone. I didn't mean to do that.
Yeah, didn't mean to. Yeah. But again, that's the result.
I don't care what you meant to do. It's what you did do. And that has a consequence.
That's the folly. That's the folly of it all. That's right. And tragic. A lot of tragedies happen that way. At the time, it says, notice it says, stolen water is sweet. Oh, yeah, you taste it. Oh, oh, this is so sweet. It tastes so good.
General Petraeus, call your office.
And, well, look, and there's a consequence there.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, that's a sad situation you just mentioned there,
but that's,
too.
I mean, look, that's the temptation to sin. It's that few moments
of satisfaction.
And that completely distracts from the lifetime of consequence.
That's right. Results in that, and it just ain't, excuse my grammar, it ain't worth it, you know.
Well, you know, when you think about it says the woman of folly is loud, seductive, and knows nothing. Okay, she's loud, she's carnal, and stupid. Welcome to the MTV generation.
Yeah, well, and...
I mean, that's life today, my friend. That's culture. That is high culture today.
Well, speaking of high, she takes her seat
exactly.
on the highest places of the town. You know, I mean, that's, and she doesn't send out messengers as did wisdom. She herself is the one that's making the invitation, you know, like a seductive harlot. That's what it is. This is the harlotry.
Who do we honor? We honor the people in our culture who go out in public, pull their pants down, and go, look at me.
Yeah, yeah.
They're popular.
There's some new... this video that's out right now that's real popular. Everybody, I guess there's been 800 million hits on it. Have you heard about that?
Which one?
Well, which one?
They all have.
I don't know which
YouTube
one.
YouTube is full of that stuff.
It was on Fox News. Yeah. I was watching Fox News last night. And, by the way, that does not reveal my political leanings there. I just happen to be watching
Fox News. He only gets one channel
Fox
on his television.
News,
that's
the only channel I get. And it's on the right
that
side of my
television.
That's
the shopping channel, and we know about your shopping habits. So.
But this video came on. I don't know what it was called. It was put out by some Oriental thing. And it's just a bunch of gobbledygook that just, to me, didn't mean anything.
Oh, you're talking about the Gangnam or whatever it is, that silly dance.
Yes, it's the silly dance thing.
All the cool kids are doing it. Yeah.
Yeah, I just can't understand that kind of thing. I must be getting too old. I don't know, but it just doesn't make any sense.
Well, but
to
you
me.
Know, if
it's
sin,
folly. That's folly.
Yeah, but
to
see,
me.
If sin wasn't enticing, nobody would do it.
Yeah, well, that's why there are 800 million hits on that.
Exactly.
On that YouTube thing. So, my goodness.
So folly is about focusing on the short-term benefits to sin.
That's right.
And not paying attention to the long-term consequences.
That's right, like term insurance. You know, I mean, we want their life insurance. Anyway, life insurance you get is through Jesus Christ, the embodiment of true wisdom. There's no stolen water. I mean, when you answer true wisdom's invitation, you get the meat. You get the meat and you get the wine and all the goods. You get a seat at the banquet table. You don't get stolen water and bread eaten in secret. You know, secret places, you know, forbidden places, which makes it so enticing. Sin is always enticing. It's just like, you know, Adam and Eve. It goes back to the garden, you know. Not me, Lord, the snake. You know, we're always passing the buck on somebody else when and not taking responsibility and saying, hey, it was my sin that put Christ on the cross. No, I participated in getting Christ on the cross.
What do you say we leap ahead just a little bit into the New Testament to end this discussion of Proverbs 9?
Okay.
And take a look at James 1:15.
Okay.
All right.
Let's
then,
do that.
Then, after desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin, and sin, when it is full grown, gives birth to death.
That's right. You see, it's an evolutionary sort of thing. And just one thing leads to another, and the end result. Here's the end result. That's why, if you're in folly now, catch yourself and get out of it. Go the way of wisdom. Go the way of Christ. Don't stay in folly, because there is an end result, and it's fatal. It's eternally fatal. Without Jesus Christ. And that's the danger. That's an excellent verse there that you just pointed out.
Yeah, and that good. Desire, as we said earlier, that's the distinction between knowing what you need and what you want and not confusing the two.
Yeah, and the wisdom to know the difference.
The wisdom to know the difference. Pastor Mark Hawkinson,
it's
an excellent, most excellent program, worthy of your attention, and it comes on every day right after the Ask the Pastor program. It's called
Moments
of Assurance.
Be there. I'll be there.
Still my wife's absolute favorite program on KFUO.
You tell your wife thank you for
me. I'm somewhere third on the list. I'm not sure what the second is.
That's not really true. She won't admit it, but she's married to you, and she doesn't want to give you the satisfaction.
It's part of the contract. I know. Pastor Mark Hawkinson, thank you so much.
Thank you, sir.
God bless you, my friend. Up next, Ask the Pastor. If you think this was fun, wait. It'll get even better, I promise. Stick around.
Listen to the Bible Study Monday through Friday at this same time. The Bible Study is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is needed for the Bible Study to continue. Our address is 85 Founders Lane, St. Louis, Missouri, 63105. You can contact us on the web at kfuo.org. Download archives at kfuo.org. The Bible Study is heard weekdays on KFUO Radio, a broadcast ministry of the Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod.